Many of you that come here to Bethlehem are my spiritual children. These girls that just sing, they're my spiritual children. Fixing to go into Africa, and we're going to be preaching to millions, or reaching millions of people back through that area with literature and preaching and whatever. We're already reaching, I don't know how many they have took our literature and went into places to where they had thousands upon thousands of people, and it's gone all through Africa and India, different places all over the world, and millions of pieces of literature have gone out, and our voice has had the privilege of going out to millions of people by airway, TV, and tent meetings, and crusades, open air services, whatever. We'll be there with millions and millions of people in that country there. I don't know how many of them we've been able to reach or speak to by literature. We've had a radio program that went in there. We got some mail not too long ago. Still, I don't know how it's getting in there, but the Lord has blessed us. And we're going into that area. People all over the world. We'll be going into Germany. I want to see a brother over there in Germany that came in and preached for us. We've been through Germany a number of times. A lot of literature is going out in Germany and just around the world. So many millions of people. And a lot of people have been won to the Lord that are my spiritual children. Some that come here at Bethlehem are my spiritual children. Not all of them that come here at Bethlehem are my spiritual children because they're not children of God. But they come to listen. And who knows but what one day we might be able to convert them and win them to God. But many of them are my spiritual children. When you have spiritual children, they're very dear to you. Natural children are dear to you because your natural children, as I've said so many times, they're going to be with you a lifetime, 50, 60, 70 years, 80, 90, ever how long you live. But spiritual children, they're going to be with you throughout eternity. Your natural children are but for a few days. But spiritual children are eternal children. They're with you eternally. They're never taken away from you. We're glad to have Junior here. Junior and his wife. And they're here with us and the little grandchild. So sweet. Ah, she's so sweet. She was down in the house the other day just playing around trying to talk. Junior and the wife was coming for a good while, and then they got cut off somewhere, and I really prayed. Junior don't know this, but I really prayed and talked to God about him and his wife. So all of a sudden they turned up again. Everything's going better with them. The devil would love to exile you or drive you off somewhere, you know. But if you just keep on keeping on, God will make a way for you. So we love you and appreciate you, every one of you. We thank God for you. If there's anything that we can do to help you, we're more than glad to do it. The Bible said the parents lay up for the children. Paul said, though you have 10,000 instructors, he said, yet you have but one father in the gospel, I begot you. In the gospel as a father. So you do have different preachers, different instructors, people coming from everywhere. Teaching, preaching, testifying, but you're born of one spiritual father, and that makes you the children of that father. And Paul had spiritual children, and he said, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. I desire to present you to God spotless, blameless, soul, body, and spirit. And I want you to go on to get the full blessing of God, to a full reward, he said. So we don't want a partial reward, we want a full reward. We want to go into a full reward. And he was jealous over his children with a godly jealousy. And that's the way I am. I am jealous over the children of God with a godly jealousy. I like to see them clean and holy, blameless, to where the devil can't touch them. We have some children that It's adopted into the family. The Bible speaks of the adoption. Some of them was born of another spiritual father. Things went wrong and things wasn't right, and we've adopted them into our family, so our spiritual children. You know, one day I'd like to preach again on the adoption. We preached on the adoption not too long ago, but we really didn't clarify it the way I'd like to clarify it. I'd love to speak on the adoption. I've had quite a number of people that still want to ask questions. You usually just take a text and go on with it. But so many of them are asking questions till I feel like I need to give you a chance again to ask a question or two. And if we can answer it, just by talking to you a little bit, we will. I can't remember the questions. You come to me and ask me the questions, and I can't remember them unless you write them down on a little piece of paper and send them up here to me, or unless you stand up in the services and repeat those things and let me know what they were. I just can't remember. Even people write letters asking questions. Sometimes we answer them and sometimes we don't get to answer them. But we'll take just a minute or two and see if there's anything on anybody's heart. Anything that you got in mind tonight. Might mention this while you're thinking. We're reaching a lot of different kind of churches. UPC, United Pentecostal Church, from over in New Jersey, wrote today and asked for our literature. And we have Assemblies of God writing and asking for our literature. Church of God writes and asks us for our literature. Matter of fact, there was a Church of God woman, I believe it was. Well, Taylor, remind me to say something to you about this particular incident. We got a letter today concerning a boy that was in prison that's expected to get out. And this Church of God woman wrote in his behalf. I need to get you to talk with him, Sister Linda. But anyway, we get letters from all kind of people, every kind of walk of life, even Catholics. And what contact was it you made with this particular fellow, Sun Yon Moon's following? Yeah, we've even had them to come here for counsel. Another one coming Sunday. I think that while we're in the areas of Korea, that Sun Yon is having a convention, is he, Frank?
Yes, sir.
7,000 preachers or something? What is it? Maybe I've got that wrong. 700 preachers?
He's got a goal for
7,000. We got a letter from the minister. Some of you were with me over in Israel when we ministered at a Baptist church. I remember that. I know some of you is with me. This man, the message that we preached must have really touched his heart. He's an outstanding figure in that area. Touched the lives of a lot of people, and he's been with the Baptist convention. But I noticed after that we preached, he wrote a letter and said, we're not... What did he say about the Baptist convention, Betty? He's no longer with the Baptist convention. He's doing things and was telling how that God was blessing him, even in the old city. And said, was talking about doing things in Jesus' name.
Praise God.
So let's give the Lord a hand. Our visit over in Israel has been rewarded numbers of times. I think this perhaps will be the fifth time that we go into Israel. All right, a lot of things I'd like to say about the different churches. Brother Donnie was up at Brother Dale's ministering the other night. Brother Dale came down and talked with me some today, and he is having some problems, but they're really trying to give him a hard way to go up there. I mean, they're rising up against him hard. But he's still fighting, holding his own, and looks like he's winning out. He also had some problems coming out of Oklahoma. Betty's acquainted with what I'm saying about somebody that called us concerning some things in Oklahoma. Some ministers there that believe in our ministry, and they follow our ministry. And the only thing is, we have so many ministers following our ministry. But one of them gets the idea that he wants to do something over here, and the other one gets the idea he wants to do it in the same town. Then they get the idea that they don't want to do it with each other, and they get it war, and then they get me in the middle of it, and then it gets to snowballing, gets to circling around, and then I have some problems. So one of the ministers called the other night from Oklahoma, and we talked to him, and he was all right after we talked to him. But he felt like we was with him, that he follows our ministry and tells how much he enjoys the tapes. And then he felt like that this other minister that follows our ministry, that he had was going to do something over here in another place, and that I was going to stand with him, and that had him tore up. And then it had another minister involved in it, and it just, sometimes it just gets in a snowball. It's really a problem. But you pray God work every bit of it out, because we're all just brothers and sisters in the Lord, and it'll work out. You have a little problem because you win a brother to God and you lead a brother into things, and then the first news you know, you put him over here in a place to kind of look after a church or look after something, and he gets money on his mind, and the devil gets to tempting him. The first news you know, he's done set up his own operation. He's done took the church and took the people, and he's got his own thing going, and been the flock of God is all split up, and the Bible speaks hard against them that cause division. Mark them that cause division among you. And it really makes it a problem. If I could go with the regularity, or if I had some of my men here that are ministers, that are leaders, that could go with the regularity and visit the different places, we wouldn't have that problem, because we'd always be able to keep it under control. But we've had a number of churches that the Lord blessed us with, and different ones have went in and really caused problems. And God has ruled some of them out. And the churches are turning back, and the people are turning back to this. They've been blinded for a while, but they're coming to their senses. There isn't but one church, one shepherd. The chief shepherd will appear one day. All right, Brother Donnie. I don't think he was here the other night. We went into that very thing, and went into it fairly extensive. We didn't cover all of it, but we covered enough to. Let me see before I say this if I'm saying the right thing. I think we covered enough of it that some of you that heard and paid close attention, would you say that we clarified it to tell? You know, to where you could tell the difference and differentiate between those things as to whether the church would go through the tribulation or not. We got any hands at all? Oh, yeah. Yeah, a number of them. Let me ask this question. Since that you listened at it, what would you say? Would somebody stand up and tell me what they think as to the church going through the tribulation? Would you do that if you listened at it? Come on, folks. Okay, ain't no way. Did it make it clear the other night, Tommy? Okay. Tommy says there ain't no way that the church can go through the tribulation. What we might do, we might comment a little bit on it tonight. Otherwise, I'll get into a message and start preaching to you. But we might comment on this and take a little pro and con here and see what you think about it. All right. One of the things that I said the other night was this. I'll read just a little scripture concerning it. There is, in chapter 7 of the book of Revelation, 144,000 of the what we refer to as the Jews. They were sealed. There is no such thing as a Jew, naturally or outwardly. We refer to the Holy Land as Jews, but there is no such thing as a Jew, outwardly or naturally. And there is no such thing as a Jew nationally. They will not reckon those people as a nation being Jews. They are Israelites, or that is being the children of Jacob. They're called the house of Israel, in that Jacob's name was changed from Jacob to Israel when he wrestled with the angel and prevailed. And so then it says the whole house, Paul says the whole house of Israel shall be saved. The whole house. Well, that is to say the whole family of Jacob. And that's why that there is 144,000 of what we refer to as Jews sealed in the seventh chapter of the book of Revelation. It is the household of Jacob, or it is the whole house of Israel, in that Israel or Jacob had 12 sons, and this is the sealing of the 12,000 of each son, making 144,000 to fulfill the words of Paul and the teachings of the Old Testament, that the whole house of Israel shall be saved. For as it is written, out of Zion shall go forth the deliverer, and he shall turn ungodliness away from Jacob, and the whole house of Israel shall be saved. So, we think, you know, if we're not in the Word of God and don't understand the Word of God, we think like this. We think, well, there's going to come a mighty deliverer. He's going to go to Jerusalem, and all of them Jews is going to turn to God. That's what Paul was saying, when the house of Israel is going to be saved. But that's not what it is at all. Those people over there are just like people over here. Whether it's in Israel, whether it's Germany, wherever it's at, they're just people. There's no special people with God. Paul said, we have proven that all are under sin. All have come short of the glory of God. All nations, including Israel, the nation of Israel, shall be turned into hell if they forget God. So Israel right now is on the verge of going through the tribulation period because she has forgotten God. Like the preacher that wrote us, said Brother Pike, said, I'm sure that if you was here in Israel with me, you'd be having a good time with us and doing something for God here and preaching to these people. He said, because this is the land of religion, and a lot of religion here. He said, but very few when it comes to people that are spiritual, you know, that really know something about God. So that country is just overrun with religion. Overrun, but really, they don't know much about God. So then in the seventh chapter of the book of Revelation, I want you to notice this now. It says, and after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there was sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah was sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben was sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad was sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher was sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali was sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh was sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon was sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi was sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar was sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun was sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin was sealed 12,000. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now, that's reading the 7th chapter of the book of Revelation. Who are these? The angel said. John said, Sir, thou knowest. I want you to notice this now. These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, first of all, I want you to notice that it says made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The other night, I was differentiating between the 7th chapter as to who these people are and the chapter over a little farther where it speaks of the saints going through the tribulation period. In the 13th chapter, listen. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea having 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it was wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? There was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwelt upon the earth. All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. All right, now, let me just comment just a little bit here. First of all, in the 7th chapter of the book of Revelation, it says that he sealed 144,000. Now, it says in the 14th chapter of the book of Revelation that here stands 144,000 standing on Mount Zion. with the names in their forehead. Now, some of you saw Mount Zion. When we were over there, we went up to Mount Zion, where the tomb of David was. Now here, 144,000 is standing on Mount Zion. And it says that they have the Father's name written in their foreheads. Now, commenting just a little pro and con here. Somebody tell me what the Father's name is. Can you tell me? How do you know that? Are you sure? And we're talking about the Father's name. How's that? Who said that? Oh, Brother Atlee. Okay, Atlee. His eyes are just a little blinded. All right. Atlee says he believes that because that's what the Bible teaches. I come in my Father's name. If another had a come in his name, him you would have received. But I come in my Father's name, you didn't receive me. So, what kind of name was in the forehead of the 144,000? Can you tell me? It was Jesus. As a matter of fact, that is why that in the 7th chapter of the book of Revelation that he had to seal the Jews, as we say, the Israelite. Because today they do not believe in Jesus as the Messiah. So in that they don't believe in Jesus as the Messiah, they don't have the seal. Are you listening? Now, if they don't have the seal, tell me this. What is it that they don't have? Somebody ought to know. Who said that? Hold up your hand. I can't. Yeah, Brother Gary. Okay. Now, the Spirit of God. See, they don't have the Spirit of God. Now, that ought to tell you something. That means that the rain coming on the just and on the unjust, that God pouring out of His Spirit, that He hath literally poured out of His Spirit upon all flesh. All flesh. It doesn't matter if it's a drunkard, it's a harlot, it's a murderer, whatever. The grace, the blood of Jesus is on the seat of atonement. He hath poured out the rain upon the tare, just like He has the wheat. And people are becoming religious. The tare is becoming just as religious as Cain. Cain offered his sacrifice, but he was a murderer. And the Bible said his deeds were evil because he was of the wicked one. Wherefore slew he his brother? Because his brother's deeds were good and his were evil. All right? Now, so then they don't have the Spirit of God. They may be religious, but they're no special people to God. All are under sin. No man cometh unto the Father but by the Son of God. Now they say we believe in the Father. We don't believe in Jesus Christ as God having a Son. But we've got God. That ought to tell you something. Do they have God? Do they have God? No, they don't have God. That's why this great tribulation thing is going to come on them. It's because they don't have God. They say we believe in God. We believe in Jehovah. While we're God's chosen people, Moses chose us. Do they have God? No, they don't have God. They have all of the ordinances of God, Paul said. They have all of these things that belong to God. They have these things, all of those things. They were given those things from Mount Sinai. They have these things. But do they have God? No, they don't have God. They don't have God. Because the Bible says that no man can come to the Father except through the Son. And John pointed this out. He that hath the Son, he hath the Father also. But he that hath not the Son, he don't have the Father either. They don't have the Son, so they don't have the Father. They're just a church of ritualistics. That's all. That's why they're going through the tribulation and the things that's going to befall Israel. That's why they're going to befall Israel, is because they don't have God. And see, not having God, as Gary said, they don't have the Spirit of God. And when you say the Spirit of God, that means they don't have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost isn't in them, so they are not sealed. I have the Holy Ghost. I'm sealed. And a person that's sealed with the Holy Ghost, then the Bible said he keepeth himself, and Satan, the evil one, toucheth him not. Never at any time does Satan touch him during his whole lifetime. He is without spot, he is without wrinkle, he is without blemish,
and he will always be. He has been without spot and without wrinkle and without blemish since before the foundation of the world. In the foreknowledge of God, he was elected unto grace, and with that was without spot, wrinkle, or blemish before he was ever born into the world. For the Bible said this was given unto us in Christ before the world ever was, and then it was brought to light at the rent veil of Calvary. That is, it was brought out to where it could be preached down through the church ages as the light of God broke to each generation through every church age messenger, coming on down to the sevenfold light of God as to what the Bible speaks of in that day. The moon, the sun shall be sevenfold. Well, that is the compound light of understanding that was broke at Calvary by the rending of the veil through the seven dimensional steps of that which was the church age messenger to make the church perfect. All right, so they don't have the seal. That is why that in the book of Revelation, in the seventh chapter, that is why that they are sealed. They have to be sealed. If they don't have a seal, then that means that God can't protect them. Not having God's Spirit, they don't have a seal. I have a seal. I have an inward seal. My spirit is sealed. Now, they don't have that seal. They don't have the seal of the Holy Ghost. Why is it they don't have the seal of the Holy Ghost? What is the Holy Ghost? He's the Spirit of Christ. And the Bible said when the Comforter, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, the Comforter, even the Spirit of Christ, when He comes, He will come in My name. So then, because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, they don't have the Comforter. They don't have the seal, even during the tribulation period. They don't have the Comforter. I have the Comforter. When I go through bereavement, I go through sorrow, problems, whatever it might be, the devil harassing my mind, sickness, many are the afflictions of the righteous. I have the lovely Comforter of Christ the Spirit. The Holy Ghost, He comes and He woos me and He talks with me and He loves me and He says, son, everything's going to be all right. From within, I have this heavenly treasure within these earthen vessels. And He's on the inside and He'll just rise up and He'll say, don't worry about it. It's okay. It's okay. You're my son. It's okay. See, but they don't have that consolation. They don't have that blessing. See, so we don't have to worry about going through the tribulation. Let's give Him a hand. See, the seal keeps us from it. Now, someone would say, Brother Pike, what makes you think that you don't have to go through the tribulation? Well, we'll pinpoint a few more things here to let you know. What makes you think that you don't have to go through the tribulation? I say that the seal is what keeps me from it. Can you prove that, though? I can prove that. See, I can prove that because if you'll follow me here in the Bible from the 7th chapter over to the 14th, you'll find we've got this on tape, so we won't go into the detail of it. But you'll find out that if you follow me from the time that the 144,000 was sealed, that they just having the name of the Lord in their foreheads, the seal now, having the name of the Lord in the forehead, it is called the seal. It said, and they were sealed in their foreheads. Now, I would say, Brother Taylor, why was they sealed in their foreheads? Why did God seal them in their forehead? Why didn't He seal them somewhere else? Because the Bible said when the mark of the beast comes, when the Antichrist comes, that he is going to put the mark in the forehead. That's one of the main places. In the forehead. You know, I say in my forehead, within my skull, within my brain, within your skull, your brain. See, you become intellectually indoctrinated. And so then, by placing this within your mind, it's in your forehead. He can put that number there. That number will be placed there, which we had plenty of time to comment on it. Not only in your mind, but He can take the laser beam and put it in your forehead right on the outside to where you can't see it unless it goes under a certain scanner or whatever. All right, so when we say the seal, it was the seal, the forehead, against Antichrist doing that. And if you'll notice, it is in the 13th chapter that Antichrist comes up as the beast out of the waters. And he begins to usurp his authority. He begins to take his place. But it is immediately following that that in the 14th chapter that these are standing on Mount Zion with the seal. That is to say, from the 7th chapter over to the 14th chapter, where the Christ himself, Jesus himself, appears to them, from the 7th over to the 14th chapter, that they go through a tribulation period where the earth opens up and the locusts come out and the smoke come out. And all of these things that I spoke of, like the locust with the women's hair and teeth like a lion and face like men, these kind of things, all of these things come out. The death plagues come forth. All these terrible, hideous, horrible things take place. They go right through there. It never harms them. It never touches them. The seal was to protect them against that tribulation stride of evil. See, we have the seal that protects us from it. Now, they did not have the Spirit of God, but they had the name Jesus. They accepted the name Jesus because God, dealing with us as an individual, gives us of His Spirit. But when He deals with them, the Bible said, and a nation shall be born in one day. And here He seals the 144,000, a nation just like that. He seals them because He deals with them as a nation. Go back and check your types. Check your revelation. Check in the Old Testament. You will find that when the barley harvest came, you know what they did in the barley harvest? They took a cluster, and that was it. See, one nation, dealing with them as one. See, and when Jesus resurrected from the dead as the fulfillment of the Old Testament type, He was the first fruits of them that slept. It wasn't many that came up. It was just Jesus. It was the barley harvest. But then from the barley harvest of the Old Testament over to the wheat harvest, if you'll check over there, it brings in the 50 days. See, which means it brings in Pentecost. 40 days from the time of the ascension of Jesus. 40 days was in there. And then 10 days after the ascending, and He was back. Coming back into the temple as the Spirit of God in here. 50 days. That was the wheat harvest. That was the Gentiles' time. And in the wheat harvest, the grinding of the wheat. It was the grinding, and then it was a measure of wheat for a penny. A measure of barley. See, that is to say, we receive the Spirit by measure. The Bible said Jesus resurrected from the dead, and He gave gifts unto man, and He hath dealt unto every man the measure of faith. So then He gives you a measure of His Spirit. He deals with the Gentile as the broken body, as the ground wheat, dividing it severally as He will, so that the loaf is sliced up, as we say, and each man gets a measure of it. But see, that's the wheat harvest down through the church ages. But it's not so. It's not so with the barley harvest. See, it's just one, Jesus. He comes forth showing the fulfillment of the type of the Old Testament. The revelation is Jesus, the one, the barley harvest. They would wave it like this. And then 50 days, and then comes the wheat harvest, which was their harvest coming in following after the 40 days when they come into the wheat harvest, which meant the Gentiles coming in. All right, so I said that to say this. That means that as to the seal that was in their forehead, they were sealed as a nation in one day, the barley harvest. So that is, as to the resurrection, they were sealed as one. And this seal was sufficient to the extent the name Jesus sealed them, all of them, 144,000 different lives, and yet they all came to one. Their name was Jesus, the name of their Father. That is, the Bible said, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family, spiritual family, in heaven and in earth is named. I lost my identity. Paul said, it's no more I that live. I died by Calvary. He said, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto the world and unto the sin, but the body of the Lord Jesus, and alive unto God. I am resurrected from the dead, having been buried in the lovely name of Jesus. I am now resurrected from the dead. It's not I that liveth, but it's Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live with the Son of God, because I am bone of his bone and I'm flesh of his flesh. So my name is Jesus, as we would say. My name is Jesus. Somebody said, well, you couldn't do that, Brother Pine. That's what the Bible tells me it is. You know, I have a son. His name is Pike, because my name is Pike. And Jesus is the family name. That's why Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. For the Bible said, and a son shall be born, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Everlasting Father, and his name shall be called Everlasting Father. And a son shall be born, and his name shall be called Jesus, Everlasting Father. I come in my Father's name. All right, so what I'm saying is that the seal keeps us back from the tribulation. Because when you have the seal, the devil can't take power over you. If you just willingly submit to him, that is one thing. But see, the seal gives you power over him. Are you listening now? This is where we differentiate. See, we have all power over the powers of the enemy, even death. Death hath no power over us. We pass from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation, which means that death doesn't have any power over us. See, we've overcome death. We pass from death unto life. And it will soon come to pass that you won't even be put in a grave. You won't even be put in a casket. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That is, as Lazarus sleepeth, I go to awaken. We shall not all die. We'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. So the Bible says that we're to offer this consolation to the saints to remind them of the Thessalonian change. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, trump, the voice of the archangel, the voice of God, the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We who are alive and remain, never having been put in caskets, shall be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. And caught up to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. So then, I'm saying that again to try to make a point here. The seal means that we are the one that's in control, that we dwell in heaven. And our inner man is no longer in the earth, it's no longer in the body. He said, I have chosen you out of the flesh, out of the world, and hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the restoration of all things. That is to say, Christ within me, the kingdom of God is within me. My spirit, my inner man, my angelic being has gone into Christ's spirit, which is the kingdom of God, and Satan can't get to it. So then I'm sealed. The flesh profiteth nothing. It's of the dust. It goes back to the dust. It'll be awakened, or we'll go through the chains as to the revelation. Some of you understand what I'm saying. So we find that the seal gives us power and superiority over all of the powers of Lucifer. Now, notice these in the seventh chapter. The angel said, who are these? And John said, sir, thou knowest. And he said, these are they that have come up out of great tribulation, that have washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. These are they that have come out of great tribulation. John said, I looked, and these were in heaven. And he said, they follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. He dries the tears from their eyes. They'll never weep again. The sun will never light on them again. Never. Because in that city, the Bible said, it hath no need for the sun. That world hath no need for the sun. For the Bible said, the Lamb is the light thereof. The star, the day star, the sun, it is the cosmic energy that we live by in this world. But that is the satanic life. That is the natural life. See, that's what I was talking about the other night, differentiating between the two lives. Maybe we'll get on it again sometime. See, but you couldn't tell the difference. Only the elect could tell the difference. It would deceive the very elect, if it was possible. So we don't need the natural day star, because the Bible said, until the day star dawns within your heart, the Lamb is the light of that city.
The sun will never light on them anymore. So here we see this great multitude. And who are they? The angel said, John said, sir, thou knowest. He said, this is what they are. These are they that have come out of Africa, that have come out of Germany, that have come out of America, that's come out of Russia, that's come out of every nation under heaven. These are they from every nation under heaven. And they have washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. They've become believers. They've overcome by the words of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb, that is testifying to the finished works of Christ at Calvary. So they overcame Him. These are they. They've already overcome. They're already with the Lamb. Now I want you to notice this. They're already with the Lamb. It's not a matter of them overcoming. They're already with the Lamb. They're already with the Lamb. Oh, but somebody says, but Brother Pike, it says that they came out of great tribulation. I know it did. But it wasn't the tribulation of Daniel's last week, of the 7 years, of those weeks that Daniel spoke of. That wasn't the tribulation that they came out of. Now, someone would dispute that and say, well, prove it. Well, I told you the other night, a way to differentiate. Notice in the 13th chapter, reading over there of the beast coming up, the 14th chapter of the 144,000 being there. Notice that in reading these chapters, it points out that the saints will be in the tribulation. There are saints that are in the tribulation. I read it to you. And the Bible said this Antichrist, which is Satan, the expulsion from heaven, him going into a human body, confederating, it points out that this beast that came up had power over these saints. Now, are you listening? Are you staying? How many are staying with me? It said he had power over them. And the Bible said there was given unto him power over all the nations. All of the nations. He had power over all the nations. And these saints was under his powerful regime. They were under it. He blasphemed. He blasphemed the name of the tabernacle, which is the name Jesus. Peter called this body a tabernacle, as long as I'm in this tabernacle. He blasphemed them that dwell in heaven. Not only the angelic host, not only that, in that he exalts his throne above the stars and casts even down the stars. Not only that. See, but we are they that dwell in heaven. The Bible said, rejoice ye that dwell in heaven. I've made you to sit together in heavenly places. I've chosen you out of the world. You're not of the world. I've chosen you out of the world. Speaking of your inner man, I've translated you into the marvelous kingdom of God as to your inner angelic being. I've sealed that being, and the flesh is now dead, buried in the name of Jesus in the water. No more. I see it no more. I see you as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I'm looking beyond your life, and I'm seeing the change where you're already changed. You're my children. All right. So let me say this. In the 7th chapter, it said, and these came out of great tribulation. How can I then say that it is not the tribulation that is spoken of over here in chapter 13 as to the Antichrist? How can I do that? It is a tribulation that you and I are going through right now. We are in great tribulation. The beginning of sorrows, the Bible speaks of this. Look at the tribulation. Mothers, look at them. Daughters leaving home and mothers crying and weeping and not knowing where they're at. And they're being ravished. Young girls roaming the roads, being killed. Little children, dads, mothers, getting worse all the time. Diseases, heartaches, operations, all kind of things. It's horrible. It's hideous. It's a tribulation. It's a sorrowful time. A sorrowful time. See, this tribulation is different from the tribulation over here. It is in the 7th chapter, before you ever get to the 13th chapter. Someone would say, well, how can you prove that?
I can prove that because when it says here that this great multitude that no man could number was in the presence of the Lamb, it means all of their worries are over. It means there's nothing else for them to worry about. Of all nations, of all kindreds, and all tongues, and someone would say, well, Brother Pike, that means that John is looking at it after the tribulation period is over. No, that couldn't be. For the simple reason that right here he's looking in heaven and seeing these that are already in heaven, which obviously is the raptured church that relates to the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation when John saw a door open in heaven when he went up. He heard the voice say, come up hither. He saw these up there where he was. So it couldn't be the others. See, because at the same time he looked in heaven and saw the multitude, he saw the 144,000 in the earth. He looked in heaven, he said, the great multitude out of all nations, kindreds, and tongues. Then he said, and they have washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. Not being purged through tribulation. It was by the blood of the Lamb. It was just like preaching today, being born again. And then he looked down in the earth and he saw 144,000 that didn't have the seal, that wasn't in heaven. When you get the Spirit of God, folks, I know this is hard for some of you to get a hold of. And evangelists, they try to chop me to pieces about this. Great evangelists. They say things on the radio program and otherwise about Brother Pike. But let me tell you something. When you get the Spirit of God, when you are born again, when your angelic being, your interspiritual being, goes into the kingdom of God by translation, when it goes in, you're already in heaven. You've already passed from death unto life because the separation of the spirit from the body is not death. Though the Bible uses the terms that the body without the spirit is dead, which is true. When your spirit goes away, your body can't do anything, which proves the life's not in the body, it's in the spirit. But that is not death. Jesus said that is sleep. But when your spirit, angelic being, separates from God Almighty, the eternal fountain of life, the true spirit, God the Savior, that is death. And when you are born again, your spirit is translated into the kingdom of God. It is sealed. It can never die. You can't die. It's not possible for you to die. That ends it. You're over. You're sealed. You pass through everything. You are alive eternally. You are alive eternally, which means your spirit is already in the kingdom of God. You've already made the translation. You've been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. And your body is dead and buried in the earth, in the water, because it is numbered with the Jewish people, because the Jews are a type. The Jews are a type of the dead body. That's why that they have to differentiate as to the revelation, as to the dissecting, or as to the rending of the veil, or as to what is called the Trinity, which you know very well because we preached it, taught it, it's on tape. Now, the 144,000 that was in the earth, they received a seal that protected them through the tribulation period. See, this group of people are already in heaven at the time that the 144,000 is sealed. You follow me? He sees them being sealed at the same time that the great multitude is seen in heaven. Now, the 144,000 from the time of their sealing still, as of yet, has to go through that time of the 3.5 years, going through that time of the opening of the bottomless pit and the locust coming out and all these things taking place, because that's what the seal is for, to protect them from those things. For the voice said this, when those locusts came out, the voice said, see that you don't hurt those that are sealed in the forehead. See that you don't hurt them. It wouldn't even let the full winds hurt the earth or the sea or the trees or the grass or any other thing until these servants were sealed. Because if those four winds, as to the powers of evil, had been turned loose, as to the bombing and all these atomic powers is coming, it would have destroyed the 144,000, they could not have been preserved. And had the locusts been turned loose as to these winds, they would have been killed. But he would not let the plagues come on the earth until the 144,000 was sealed. And folks, whether you believe it or not, right now that's one of the things that's holding up the plagues. The bombs are ready to come from every corner of the earth. But he can't do it until the 144,000 is sealed. He's got to seal them to fulfill the scripture. For as it is written, out of Zion shall come forth the deliverer, and he shall turn ungodliness away from Jacob, and the whole house of Israel shall be saved. Which is the sealing of the 144,000. So then we see that the rapture of the church and the sealing of the Jews are simultaneously. That is to say, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and notable day of the Lord comes. Read it in Malachi. I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and notable day of the Lord comes, so that he can turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. Back to the apostolic fathers, as to our dimension here. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Elijah, as it was on John, turning the hearts of the children back to the apostolic teachings. But here it has a reference to the children of Israel and turning the hearts of the children of Israel back to their leadership, like the 24 elders that will be around the throne, or the 12 great sons of Jacob, as to his sons and the replacement of those sons, the one that sinned, to make up the tribes. So then Elijah the prophet, he said, will come. And you'll read it here in the book of Revelation. He came. He came with the sealing of the 144,000. He comes. Why did he come? He and Moses. Why did they come? Because the Bible said that God has to leave a seed in the earth, because if he doesn't leave a seed in the earth, that he will come and smite the earth. The Bible says that God will come and smite the earth with a curse. He said, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and notable day of the Lord come, lest I smite the earth with a curse. That is to say, when the salt of the earth has gone out, then God will burn up the earth. Just like Lot when he went out of Sodom and Gomorrah. See, the church is the salt of the earth. When the church is raptured, there will be nothing in the earth for God to preserve the earth for. Everybody will be wicked. He'll have to destroy them. He can't even resurrect the wicked dead until after the 1,000 years millennium is finished. For in the first resurrection, we come forth. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, over which the second death hath no power. That is, the first death is asleep. We don't go through the second death. It hath no power over us, because that is the death that we have passed from. For that is the lake of fire. That is the separation of our spirit from God. Our spirit has passed from death unto life and can never go into the lake of fire. Our angelic being can never be separated from God. It's one with eternal life. All right, so this is what I'm saying. I will smite the earth with a curse. So he sends Elijah. And when he turns the Jews to God and they receive the seal, then the earth can be protected when the saints are raptured out. So then these that were up, the great multitude that was up in heaven, that's the church. Out of every nationality. And here they are at the same time, they go out, then the Jews is sealed in to preserve the earth. And then the transitional changes start of the last week of Daniel's 70 weeks. The last week. You follow me? The last week starts. It has to start because now the Jews have come back in. And when the angel spoke to Daniel in the Old Testament, he told him that this was determined upon his people to make an end of sin. And he spoke of the Messiah coming. He said, and he shall come and make an end of sin. We preached to you about Daniel 70 weeks. Jesus came at Calvary. He made an end of sin. There is no more sin to the Christian. He that is born of God cannot sin. I don't care what kind of Pentecostal teachings you get,
Baptist teachings, whatever, a man that's born of God can't sin. Someone would say, well, I think, Brother Pipe, that he'll be all right if he keeps trying. But he could sin and go back out into the world and be lost. It is not possible for a Christian to sin, to go back in the world and be lost. Then someone would say, Brother Pipe, what about them that went back? I've said this to you so many times. The Bible said if it had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out from us that it might be made manifest that they were not of us. And then what do you do with what Jesus said? Father, I've not lost to one of them. Every one that you've given me, I'll raise him up in the last day. The only one that's gone is the son of perdition. And he was a devil from the beginning. In the Old Testament, said, let another his bishopric take. He never was a child of God. Though you can't obtain part of the ministry like Judas did. And many has got into that, but still they're devils. Reign on the unjust as well as the just. All right, let's try to hurry along because this is a long subject. It could take a long time to get into it. So then we see the earth is preserved by Elijah coming back. The 144,000 is sealed and then tutored as to the Christ. Here, this 144,000 hath yet to go through the tribulation period as to Daniel's last week. And this is the Jews coming back in. Because the angel said, it is determined upon thy people, and 69 weeks of it went unto Calvary, and then from that time it's the Gentile age, and no more of that time is counted until Daniel's last week of the 70 comes in, because when the last week of it comes in, that will be the finishing of the 70 that was determined upon Daniel's people, which was the Jews. So then the space in between there brings in the Gentile days, and then the last week of Daniel, which is called the time of Jacob's trouble, the tribulation period where God said, I'll make them go through the fire. Then comes this last week. When this last week comes in, it comes in because the Jews are sealed. Israel comes in. And immediately that last 7 years start, which we call the tribulation period. 3.5 years, and then the covenant is broke in the middle, for it's made with Israel for 7 years. We're just going all night with that. So you see that we are nearing that right now. We're getting nearer that right now. The ending of the days of the Gentiles. Somebody said, when, Brother Pike? Right there at the ceiling of the 144,000. That's why in Revelation 8, it tells you that that there was 30-minute silence in heaven. That's the blood coming off the Seat of Atonement. And that is immediately where it is seen that the censer is filled up with the fire from the altar of God and thrown into the earth, and the wrath of God comes. The wrath of God is the bursting of those bombs. It'll happen. We brought out some of it. Maybe we'll get to bring out a little more of it. So we can see that we're nearing that point right now. We're almost to that point. That's why the eyes are still on Israel. Everything's about Israel. Everything's about Israel. Reagan said, as Israel goes, so goes America. See, everything is set for that. Let me comment just a little more to prove my point here. And then we're going to leave off because there's just so many multiplied things that we'd have to get in here as the Spirit of God is speaking to you. First of all, notice, this is in the 7th chapter that these things take place. He sees the 144,000 sealed in the earth, and then he sees the great multitude that's in heaven that no man can number, that's washed in the blood of the Lamb, that's come up out of great tribulation, not the tribulation of the 7 years, not that. These saints, Satan don't have power over these saints as he does in Revelation 13 as to those saints that's going through the tribulation period there. He didn't have any power over these. These have already gone to heaven. And they are already in heaven at the time that the 144,000 is being sealed. You understand what I'm saying? It's an instantaneous thing. One goes up, the other is sealed. Because the mantle comes back from Elijah to Elisha, which is from the Gentiles to the Jews. Now, when they are sealed in their head, foreheads with the name Jesus, then their protection is Jesus. Faith in Jesus. Their faith takes them through. It's a shield to quench all the fire darts of the wicked. And when they get over the tribulation, they find Jesus. Jesus. Find Jesus, not the Christ. They find Jesus standing on the mountain. See, 144,000 nations born, and one day they find Jesus there with a nail print because they took the name Jesus. They're on the natural side, the body side, the Jesus side. But we didn't do that. We found the Christ. Because we are a spiritual Jew, we found the spiritual Lord who is the Christ. And we are sealed in the spiritual man. They found the natural Jesus. And they're sealed by his natural name that's given to the natural man, as we say. Given to him, and they find their natural head over on the mountain, and the membership comes to him. We do that spiritually as the Christ. We individually, as the spiritual beings of the angelic forces on the inside of us in heaven, we're all as the angels. That is, we're spirit. I make my angels spirits. We come to the Christ. That's why I tell you what I do about the revelation. Folks, don't forget. Don't forget what I'm telling you. Don't forget right now there's a rent veil. And that means there's a Christ. And that means that there's a membership of the Christ. And there is a Jesus somewhere. And there's a membership of the Jesus. And as long as that Jesus is away, that membership is dead. That's why our body is dead. When he comes into the air, he won't be dead. See, when he appears up yonder, he won't be dead, because he comes to the Jews, and the Jews come up like that to represent the resurrection of the dead saints. They come up. See, because that is the body. The rent veil at Calvary means the veil was rent in twain so that your body could be dead and your spirit could go into heaven. And he could bury your body because it's sin, and the body, the flesh is dead because of sin, and your spirit has gone back to God who gave it, as to the angelic world. It's dwelling in the angelic world, and you are safe. You are safe. There is nothing. The Bible said, and nothing shall separate you from the love of God. Heights, things present, devils, demons. Ain't nothing can touch you. You can't sin. You're born of God. You'll never be able to sin. You was God's elect by foreknowledge. He elected you unto grace and sealed you in his foreknowledge, and then sent his spirit at the time when the time was ripe. The Bible said, in the fullness of time, which was Calvary, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that was under the law. He heard the groaning of the prisoners, and he looked down and loosed them that was appointed unto death, and succored them at an acceptable time, which was Calvary. So we're loosed from death. We pass from death unto life, and shall never come into condemnation. So then he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. John said, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. The seed of God remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. He is a church without wrinkle, spot, or blemish, and God's coming back after that bride. All right. So then you see that here in the seventh chapter, this is happening as to the sealing. It is happening while these are in heaven. And these go all the way through the first part of that tribulation and then come over as a survivor, comes over to where these are seen in 13, in the middle of the week. This is over to the first of the week we're talking about, as to them seen in heaven. And now here, these that are sealed at the first of the week, they go right on over to the middle of the week, and in the middle of the week, they are suddenly caught up to Mount Zion, and they go on over to the middle of the week before the other saints are even spoke of here. You understand what I'm saying? The ones in 13, they're spoke of after that. The 3.5 years here shows the middle of the week. These were sealed way back here when the saints went up. So then what is the tribulation period to us? It's 3.5 years of problems and 3.5 years of bad government. It doesn't take long for 3.5 years to pass by, 7 years to pass by. And on this very earth, this same earth, this very same earth, we'll dwell. Not on another earth. Somebody says the new earth. No, it won't be the new earth. It won't be the new earth. It'll be on this very earth right here. It will be the millennium. It will be the restoration of all things. And the curse will be lifted. And it will be like the Garden of Eden. But it will be this world. And for 1,000 years, the new earth doesn't come in. And when the new earth comes in, it is at that time that the wicked dead live again. But we'll be on this earth where the wicked dead still buried. And they'll still be in the sea. and they won't come out until after the 1,000 years. For the Bible said, and the rest of the dead, the wicked dead, they lived not again until the 1,000 years was finished, which is the second resurrection. But blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Martha, I'm the resurrection. I'm the resurrection. And we could just go on and go on with that. It's what that has to do with the saints of God. But anyway, just remember what I'm telling you tonight. That this, from the 7th to the 14th, it shows two different kind of people. Two different kind of people. So, if that is true, then we need to watch the Revelation. We need to understand what's happening in our day. If we don't, then that means that we didn't make it. We didn't make it. These men that are running off starting churches, getting tapes, playing the tapes and talking about these things and starting them some kind of organization or campground or whatever, they're misleading the people. Those people will be lost just as sure as them lights are up there. They'll be lost. You can't do that. It's not possible for you to do that. I don't care how good it looks. I don't care how much you preach. I don't care if they've got gifts. They can have all kind of gifts. They'll still be lost. Just give me my hand. Somebody said, prove it, Brother Pike. All right, I'm going to prove it. They will be lost. Balaam could see visions with his eyes open. He could fall into trance and see visions with his eyes open, communicate with God. And God would tell him what to do. But the Bible called him a soothsayer, and God had him killed because the Bible said he loved the wages of unrighteousness. Saul was a murderer. Went up to Ramah Gilead, got up there, and the anointing came, the rain on the unjust, and he prophesied so much that they thought he was a prophet. You understand what I'm saying? So it doesn't matter about your gifts. It doesn't matter how you preach. It doesn't matter what you say. There is one way that is the revelation of the Son of God. You read it in the New Testament. It said in the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave unto him to show unto his servants the things which shortly must come to pass. When Jesus gave his life for us and he willingly done what the Father wanted him to do, the Father gave him the God mind. And that God mind was everything from eternity to eternity. And it is the God mind that was revealed to him as he lived from the cradle into manhood. It was revealed to him, his outer man. His inner man was God that knew everything, even as a child. But his outer man was just like yours and mine. To be our example, he had to grow in the knowledge of God and grow in stature. And it was revealed to him proportionally as he moved down through time, developing from a little child, that he was the Messiah, that he was God. That was the inter-revelation that was revealed to him as he growed. And the same thing is given to you and it's given to me. As the members of that body, as bone of his bone, and flesh of his flesh, as the God body, that same thing is given to you to inwardly reveal to you from glory to glory, from light to light, from promise to promise, from enlightenment and revelation to revelation, that you are God. Hallelujah. That you're not a man, that you're a God. They wanted to stone him to death, and Jesus said, why do you want to stone me? For what good work? They said, for no good work. That's not what we want to stone you for. Said, but you being a man made yourself God. Can a man then be God? Was he really a man? The Bible said the man Christ Jesus. Can a man be God? Said, you being a man make yourself God. He said, because I call myself the Son of God, I say that I'm the Son of God. I say again, if a dog begets dogs and an elephant begets elephants, then God begets gods. And Jesus said, is it not written in the scripture, in the Old Testament, that I have called ye gods? Now that was a big sin. I've called you gods.
Hallelujah.
You know, isn't it written back there? See, that you were called gods, Jesus said. You were called gods.
if you, to whom the Scriptures came, or the Word of God came, if you're called God's, why then do you say, I'm blaspheming because I say, I am a son of God? A God, I say again, folks, and trying to close here, a God is something that can't die. Jesus said, you're God's. Read in the Old Testament. You're God's. He said, but you're going to die like men. Somebody said, well, that couldn't be. Yet Jesus was God, but he died like a man. Let's give him a hand. Died at Calvary like a man. Said, this commandment have I of my Father. I can lay my life down. I can take it up. And you're bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And that revelation, O mind of God, is to reveal to you that you are God. But remember, it is to reveal to you that you are God by measure. Whatever measure. He resurrected from the dead. He dealt unto every man the measure as to whatever you can receive. We're ordained as the church to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man Christ Jesus. To go on to a full reward, and everyone that be perfect shall be as his master. And he said to the disciples, you shall set upon 12 thrones with me, judging these 12 tribes of the 12 tribes. 1,000 each. I'll give you 12,000 each to start y'all. You understand what I'm saying? But it's up to us as to how much that we want, how much we will give ourselves to. But he dealt unto you the measure. And whatever the measure of the mind of Christ is in you as to the revelation, it makes you that much God. Not a man, God. You're that much his body as to his members. And you're joined to his body as that much of God. I want all I can get, don't you? All that I can get. That's why I don't spend my time with other things, and I'm not interested in other things. My mind and my heart is not playing games as to the flesh, or trying to have a ministry, or be brilliant, or be projected before people, or my spirit is not wrestling with somebody that might be sitting up here at the machinery, or sitting over here at the instruments, or sitting out there, or whatever. My mind is not wrestling with them as to, I think you're this, and they think I'm that, you know, and they're wrestling with me. Well, I don't really believe it like that, and I don't think you've got all that you say you've got, and you know, and I'd love to put my foot on your head. I'm not wrestling with things like that. All that's childish. All of that's carnal. The Bible says you're yet carnal. You reason over these things. You're leaning to your own understanding. There's strife. There's jealousy, malice, all these things. And I would that you were spiritual. I'd like to speak unto you as spiritual. Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. So I feel all these things when I'm around people here or wherever. But I just don't mess with them, because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. I know demons and devils. I'm wrestling against devils, whether it's coming from one person or another person. I wrestle with them many times. I never say anything to you about it. But I'll be around and I'll be rebuking a devil. That's right. That's right. When I come up tonight, I just stepped into one place in here where the video men was. And I started rebuking devils. And them's good men was in there. But they never did know nothing about it. I never say anything to them about it. But I have many times said something to you about it to try to help you. But there was a couple of spirits that rose up. They never didn't know it. Other than they knew that the spirits rose up. They knew the spirits were on them. But I rebuked them. I didn't say anything. I have the power to do that. You have the power to do that. How do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. So then that's why I said you better watch the revelation. You'd better watch what's going on. Because there is a spiritual bride that is coming to a spiritual head. And that spiritual head has to return. And you're going to miss his return. Like Brother Branham said, it's going to go right through the church, right through you, and you're not going to see it. Oh, somebody said, I'll see it, Brother Pike. I'm looking right straight at you and Brother Taylor and these people. I see it. But see, Jesus said, having eyes to see, you don't see, and having ears to hear, you don't hear. But if you have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches, then of the church, then he said, you're all right. I see always what my Father does. I watch that, he said. Through the eyes of understanding, he said, you don't see. Because Satan has blinded your eyes in that you cannot see. And the eyes he was speaking of, if you search it out in Revelation, it's eyes of understanding. So ye shall not see when good comes. And if this be hid, it be hid to them that are lost. Whose eyes that Lucifer has blinded that they should not see? So then these men that are running around doing all these things and pulling people off over here, getting them a little group over here and doing natural things for them and getting them to do natural things. The Bible said, supposing that worldly gain is godliness, from such turn away. You didn't bring nothing into the world, and it's for sure that you're going to take nothing out. Say, oh, but prosperity, prosperity. I know, but that don't spell nothing. A lot of times that is a proof that you're in worse shape than the other fellow. That can be a proof. Even though God prospers you, and the Bible teaches you'll prosper. You'll prosper. He'll make your cup run over. But brethren, you don't set your affection and mind on nothing in the natural. For to be carnally minded is death. Just to get your mind on it. And to become house-minded, land-minded, vineyard-minded, money-minded, business-minded, it means you're dead. You're living in pleasure, you're dead while you live. You understand what I'm saying? So that you can have carnal things, but you can't have a carnal mind. And when you get to doing these natural things and doing these natural things, that means you're natural minded. And that means you don't have the spirit of life, which is the mind of Christ. So then I say again, watch and pray. And be sure that you know the time of your visitation. He said concerning Jerusalem, if thou had known the time of thy visitation, and he wept. He said, but you didn't. And he said, now your houses are left unto you desolate, until you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And this little house here can be left desolate of his presence and of his spirit. So remember that Christ is coming. He's coming as a thief in the night, which means that he'll move through your intellectual darkness. Paul calls it night. And if you be drunk, you be drunk off the cares of the world in the intellectual darkness, which is night. But we're not children of the intellectual reasoning of the darkness of that tree of knowledge that caused Adam and Eve to fall into death. We are children of the light of the mind of Christ, even the day star of the revelational mind of Christ, which is dawning within our heart. He said, if you overcome, I'll give you the bright and the morning star until the day star dawns within your heart. It's dawning. It's already dawning. It's beginning to dawn already. See, now comes the dawn and the night. The Bible said, and God created, and then it was night, and then the first day. God created because Adam and Eve fell into the night, and Calvary brought the first day with the day star, the first day. And down through there, we see the 7 days of his work, because he was the first fruits of them that slept, and every church age messenger had to do with one of those days of creation. He worked 6 days and rested on the seventh. And that's why that seventh angel is so peculiar as to understanding him and what this thing is all about. When a foot went on the sea and one went on the land and a hand went up, and they swear by him that liveth forever that time would be no more. It brings in the millennium. Somebody asked the question the other day. They said, Brother Pike, would you explain the seventh millennium? You spoke about the seventh millennium. Would you explain it? I did explain it some, and maybe we'll get back to it and explain it some more. But remember, the seventh millennium is coming up. Don't forget that now. I want you to stand with me. A lot of things that I'd like to say, folks. But it's like I said at the first of the service, what is worse than a devil? Somebody that could know the devil and still like him and give themselves to him. I know there's nothing worse than the devil when it comes to evil. He is the ultimatum of evil. I know that. All right. Love the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand. Let's sing that little chorus again. I love him. There's a lot of things that I'd like to say, folks. A lot of things. I just love to say them. Jesus said, I love to say them. But see, we as people, we get dull of hearing. And we can't hear. Can't see afar off. We get short-sighted. And we can't see into that spiritual world. But I can tell you, something great and mighty is taking place. Something is taking place that has never in the history of mankind took place. Never. And will never again take place. See, the thing is moving in. It is the results of Calvary. But everybody isn't going to see it. Not everybody. Only the elect will see it. The Bible said, as Paul preached,
but only them that were before of old ordained unto eternal life. He said, they believed, they saw it, and the rest of them was blinded. Okay, let's sing a little chorus.
Jesus gave her the water
that wasn't from the well.
Jesus gave her the water, and she went forth to tell. For she went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't from the well. For Jesus gave her the water that wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her the water, she went forth to tell. For she went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't from the well.
Let's sing another chorus or two. The altars are open. You're welcome to come down here and pray with us if you will. Sing another chorus or two. Then we'll close the service.
I can't keep up with the style, but I know I'm God's own child. Little person in this world, here I may be, but I'm God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. I claim Jesus first of all, and He will answer when I call. For I know I am the child, but He set free. I am God's own child by birth, highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. I claim Jesus first of all, and He will answer when we call. For I know you are the children God set free. We are God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first in that. Sing it one more time with me. I claim Jesus first of all, and He will answer when we call. For I know that we're the children God set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough.
You love the Lord? To be a child of God is the greatest thing that ever happened to mankind. That's the greatest thing that will ever happen to you or will ever happen to me. Let's sing this song, everyone. Everybody ought to know Jesus.
Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. For He is the lily of the valley, and He's the bright and morning star, and He is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For He is the lily of my valley, and He's my bright and morning. And He's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody's
singing again with me. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he is the lily of the valley, and he's the bright and morning star, and he's the fairest of 10,000. Can you sing it one more time? Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he's the lily of my valley, and he's my bright and morning star, and he's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. I want you to lift your hands up with me. Let's close our eyes. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Sister Betty and I are just about to take a trip around the world, having gone many times into the different places trying to tell who Jesus is. We're fixing to go again around the different parts of the world to tell who Jesus is. If you don't know who he is, let me tell you who he is. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. While we've got our hands lifted up and our eyes closed, I want us to sing this little chorus together. Can we do it? We sing that chorus. Brother Taylor, tell me his name again. I've told this a lot of times and I want to tell it again while you're standing here together. Since Betty and I are fixing on a missionary trip, it was said that this man, a missionary, preaching the wonderful name of Jesus. And there was a man that traveled from many, many miles. He came and heard this. And he was so thrilled. When he went away, he was on his way home and had walked. The story said he had walked for many miles going back home. And then all of a sudden he remembered that he could not remember that name. He began to think, I can't remember that name. All of a sudden, he began to bring to his memory the experience he had and was thinking about the blessings and the glory of God. And as he turned to think on this name, he remembered the experiences, but suddenly remembered that doing this walk from there to where he was, that he had let the name slip from. And as he could not bring this to his remembrance, the story said he turned and walked all the way back. When he got back to the missionary, he said, "Sir, would you tell me his name again? Would you tell me his name again?" And the inspiration was so great, the man wrote the song, "Tell Me His Name Again." Let's sing that song, can we? Oh, tell me his name again, and sing me that sweet refrain of him who in love came down from above to die on the cross sin shame. The story my heart has stirred. It's the sweetest that I've ever heard.
It banishes fear. It brings me hope and cheer. So tell me his name again. Oh, tell me his name again. Sing me that sweet refrain. All him who in love came down from above to die on the cross sin shame. For the story my heart has stirred, it's the sweetest that I've ever heard. For it banishes fear, it brings hope and cheer. So tell me, can you sing it with me again? Oh, tell me his name again. And sing me that sweet refrain. All him who in love came down from above to die on the cross in shame. The story my heart has stirred, it's the sweetest that I've ever heard. It banishes fear, it brings me hope and cheer. So tell me, let's sing it one more time. Oh, tell me that name again. And sing me that sweet refrain. All him who in love came down from above to die on the cross sin shame. The story my heart has stirred, it's the sweetest that I've ever heard. It banishes fear, it brings hope and cheer. So tell me his name again. Can you sing it just one more time? Tell me his name again. Sing me that sweet refrain. All him who in love came down from above to die on the cross sin shame. The story my heart has stirred, it's the sweetest that I've ever heard. For it banishes fear, it brings hope and cheer. So tell me his name again. While you've got your hands lifted up and your eyes closed, I'm going to ask Brother Donnie Osborne if he'll come up here. While Donnie's coming, let's think on the wonderful things of God. Donnie has really been through the fire. He's got a wonderful testimony, one that'll burn like fire in your heart. The Lord calls us to his services. A little saying up in the Canadian country that the Mountie always gets his man. Sometimes preachers are evasive. Brother Branham was evasive. It cost him the precious life of his darling little child and the wife that he so dearly loved. Sometimes a person gets evasive and they have to go through the fire. They have to pay a horrible price. May God help me not to be evasive.
I'm no different from anyone else. But I've tried so hard to hold on to the Lord and ask God to teach me the right way, that I might not mislead anybody, that I might not be the wrong kind of person. That by His grace, though I know it's through His own righteousness that I'm saved, by His grace, not of works. But yet I ask God to help me to be clean and holy and godly and pure from the very intents of my heart, from the very impulses of my body, from the very reflex of my mind, all the days of my life to help me. And though Satan harasses, though Satan fights, though he comes in like a flood, the Savior always meets him and lifts up a standard against him. If I could not have the opportunity to be holy and godly and pure in every way and fellowship Him, I would want to die. I would want to die. I wouldn't want to live, because for me to live, Paul said, is Christ. That is living to me. When you talk like Him, you think like Him, you act like Him, you love Him with all your heart, that's all you want to do is think on Him, talk on Him, be like Him day and night. That's Christ. To live, He said, it's not me but Christ that liveth. To live is Christ. When you are with Him all the time in your thoughts, your desires, your ambitions, that is living, folks. But aside from that, I don't see any living. I see an existence, but I don't see any living. And I want to live. I want to live in Him. I want to be like Paul. To live is Christ. To die is gain. I have a desire to be with God, which is far better so far as departing this world. But to stay here, said, it's more needful to do work to help others, to win souls. So to die is gain. To live is Christ. And to me, being with Him, that's living. And if I couldn't do that, I wouldn't want to be in this world. I just wouldn't want to be in it. That's all it's to. While our brother comes to pray with you, think on these things. And when it's well with you, pray for me and Sister Betty. Pray for our family. Pray for the church. Pray for the brothers and sisters. Pray for our trip. Pray that we can win souls. He that winneth souls is wise. The Bible said in that day he'll outshine the noonday sun if he's turned many to righteousness. I want to turn many to righteousness. I'm trying to turn you to righteousness, your heart to righteousness, to tell you the right thing, not to deceive you, but to tell you the truth from the bottom of my soul.